إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. And the question is, how do you win a race? What is the most fundamental rule without which you cannot possibly win a race, any race? What is the most fundamental rule? Practice. How do you win a race? What is the most fundamental rule? How?
Participate.
You participate. What else? How do you win the race? Bolo. How is it nobody saying run fast, this, that, kuch nahi? Kaali participate. Ho jata? Jeet jate?
Right.
You have to be the best runner. Participate is the fundamental rule. Very true. I want to rephrase it a little bit by saying, stay in the race. So participate and stay there. So the most fundamental rule is the staying power in the race. So participate and continue to participate. Right? Don't drop out of the race. Now, very important to think about that, because today one of the things that I am seeing, which is very discouraging to see, is the number of people who are willing to give up. We are going through globally, people in general and Muslims in particular are going through some difficult times, no doubt. Difficult times in different countries and various levels of difficulty. But what is very disheartening and discouraging is to see the number of people who are willing to give up and who are saying things like, well, you know, we can't win, so we have to join them. We can't win, so we have to also do the same. Now, my point is that this is a very serious matter, because this is a matter of dropping out of the race. So if you drop out of the race, then you will never win. There is no question of winning. So it is important to understand, first of all, two things as far as any race is concerned. One is, what is the criterion for winning? How do you know you won the race? That's the first thing, right? And the second thing is to also see, who is the judge of this race? So imagine that you are running a marathon, right? Say you are running the whole, you know, full marathon. So now, you come around a bend, you are very tired and so on, and there are spectators. So one of the spectators shouts and says, oh, no point in running, race is over. Race is won. So you drop out. But is the spectator the judge? So why do you listen to the spectator? Who is the judge? The judge is at the end of the race. Because any race, whether you win or you lose, is decided only at the end of the race, not in the middle anywhere. So in any race, you might see some people are running faster, getting ahead, and some people are dropping back, and so on and so forth. But that does not show anything. That is, those are all things which happen in a race. Who wins the race is decided only at the end, who crosses the final ribbon. And it's quite possible that somebody who was ahead of you may fall down. And then you cross the ribbon first, so you won the race, even though you were second or third or whatever it was. So, question these two things. One is to say, what is the criterion of winning the race? And the other one is to say, who is the judge? Now, criterion, same marathon example I'll give you, that maybe there is somebody who is running ahead of you who joined the marathon midway somewhere. People run just for the heck of it. So, now you look at the person and you say, oh my God, he's winning. He can never win because he joined the marathon midway. So, the first criterion of running a marathon is to run the full distance. This person ran only half the distance. So, even though he may cross the finishing line before you, it doesn't count. So, if you look at that person and say, ah, but he is one. He is not. He is destined to not to win because he is not even part of the race. He joined somewhere in between, right? So, you stick to what you are doing and you make sure you run, you do your job. The reason I am saying, as I said earlier, is because I see people, for example, we talk about today, people standing up against corruption and standing up against social evils and so on and so on. And then after some time, after a couple of years or whatnot, after you know few weeks and months and years, depending on different people, you find the same, those people are doing the same things. So you are standing up and speaking against a social evil, and next thing you know, you are in the same kind of place. So now you ask him, what happened? Then the usual answer, oh, but you see, nobody is listening. So if nobody is listening, you join them. That if you are doing that, then you are much worse. You are much worse than the person who was indulging in that social evil or was indulging in that corruption in the first place. Because at least that chap was, he was not a hypocrite. He was not a munafiq. Because he was saying something, he was doing wrong, but he was doing it from day one. He was not pretending to be something else. But you were pretending to be this great musleh and this great corrector of society. And then next thing you know, you are joining with the people who are doing the wrong. And you say, but nobody is listening. So that means when you were correcting society, you were doing it for the people of Allah, for who? So very important to remember this thing, to say that if you want to do anything good, you have to stick in the race. If you don't stick in the race, you will fail. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu also mentioned this thing very clearly in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ayah number 240, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِيكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّا نَصَرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you think that you will enter Jannah without such tests and trials as came to those who passed away before you? They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments and were so shaken that even the Rasul, even the Messenger and those who believed along with him said, when will the help of Allah come? Yes, certainly the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never mentioned the victory of his Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned their struggles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Musa alayhi salam had this great victory, or Nuh alayhi salam had this great victory, or Ibrahim alayhi salam had this great victory. They had victories in the sense of, you know, Firaun was removed and so on. But the point is, Allah never mentioned that and didn't celebrate that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about their struggles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nuh alayhi salam worked for 950 years. Now, if you look at this and say, why is Allah saying that? Because if you want to achieve something, you have to get prepared for the struggle that goes with it. If you give up, and if you say, oh, but you see, nothing is working, nothing is happening, then you will never succeed. There is no doubt about that, because you have dropped out of the race. Now, as I said, the criterion, so what is the criterion of winning? Today we, for example, let me take the example of elections, for example. Today we talk about Muslims, and this is where the problem is. The problem is, some jahil talking something is okay, but a Muslim who knows, who has studied, who has, has some tarbiyah, then he also speaks the same way like a jahil, then you have to wonder what kind of tarbiyah, what did he learn, what did he not learn. Because the issue is that, what is winning and losing? If somebody wins an election by fraudulent means, by deceiving people or by doing whatever it is, has that person won or lost? Seriously, ask yourself the question. Because as a Muslim, I'm not asking you as some, you know, jahil who's talking. Has that person won or lost? What will you tell me? You might tell me, well, you know, all this idealistic rubbish is nonsense. After all, he won the election. After all, he's prime minister. After all, he's president. You might say this. Then I will say, you are a jahil mutlaq. Go and make tawbah and correct your iman. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ زُهْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Allah did not say the Prime Minister is fast. Allah did not say the leader of the opposition is fast. Allah said, وَمَنْ زُهْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. So ask yourself, do you believe in this ayah or not? Seriously, how is it that you believe in this ayah that you talk this rubbish? So do you have iman? Or you lost it completely? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying victory and failure is on, He is the one who will judge. Not some election or this or that. So you make the effort. But if you make effort through haram means, if you make effort by deceiving people, if you make effort by cheating, if you make effort by, that effort is worthless even if you, Mr. Muslim, win the election and become the great Khalifa of the Muslims. You are a chore, you are a thief, you are a person who is deceived. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of the Anbiya. Show me one Nabi who lied and cheated. They could have done it, no? I mean, they were human beings. They also could have lied and cheated and whatnot, got to a position of power, and then they could have reformed themselves and say, oh, but you see, actually I'm like this. They didn't have the choice. They had the choice also. How come they never did that? How is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, gives us example of Nabi after Nabi after, who slogged through the difficulty, who did whatever he had to do, no matter what, they did not change their position. Even if they were alone. Ibrahim alayhi salam, classic example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran is filled with the whole story of his whole family. Why just one man standing against the whole, all of society? Why did he do that? So that we learn a lesson. So that we Muslims who read the Quran and say we believe in the Quran, actually show that belief in our speech and in our actions. Otherwise, where is the example? Tell me. Why should we read these examples? Then junk everything, don't read. Then you follow whichever shaitan you are following. I mean, really, it's crazy. Because people who read the Quran, people who attend durus and you attend this and that and so on, and then you talk and you behave in this way where you say, oh, what you see, after all, so-and-so is doing it. What is the good of this? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That one is your example? Or Muhammad Rasulullah is your example? So we have to decide. Number one, you have to stick in the race. Number two is the race is decided. The judge is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jaladu. The winning post is when you meet Malakul Maut, not before that. So how long is the race? As long as you are breathing, the race is going on. Where is the question of dropping out? But we have become a people who complain. Only complain. Moaning and groaning and whining. Nothing else. No solution. We just moan and groan. See what he is doing. See what that one is doing. Are? Dushman ka kaam dushman hi karna hai. Toh kya aur kya karega aapko? Sehraba ne kaha ke. The job of the enemy is to show enmity towards you. So what is the big deal? You look at how to beat that. You look at how to overcome that. You look at how to defeat that. And if you can't do that, shut up and go and sit at home. Whatever has to happen will happen. Who is asking you to be there? Just today I saw an article which different thing which I published. One of the which I read. One of the Chinese billionaires. He says, if you don't want any trouble in life, don't be a leader. A good example. I think that's the title of the article. Huh? He says, if you don't want trouble in life, do not be a leader. Alhamdulillah, go sit at home. No, who's stopping you? Whatever has to happen will happen. But if you decide that you want to do something good, if you, and alhamdulillah, may Allah give us the tawfiq, if you decide to come out in the field and do whatever it is, small and big is not the issue. The issue is the worth and value of what you are doing. Help one person, alhamdulillah, good enough. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this too, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. If one person in Khaybar, if one person accepts Islam because of you, he said, this is sufficient for your najah on the day of judgment. One person. So if you are helping one person, it's good enough. But if you are in the field, then stop moaning and groaning and whining. Not one word of complaint. Look at the difficulty and say, how can I solve this difficulty? Moaning and groaning does not help anything. It only shows that you are a loser because you have no courage and you have lost your courage. No. We are Muslims, alhamdulillah. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole wahid judge of whether somebody's life is successful or not successful. It's not the people, it's not public opinion, it's not how many people are saying so-and-so is a great person. That makes no difference whatsoever in any way. The only difference is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and you and I will know that when we meet Malakul Maut, which inshallah every single one of us will meet one day. Until then, we have to continue our work. And as I said, I have given you the dalil of the Quran, I have given you dalil from the lives on the Anbiya, you decide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat said that the difficulties that came to people before you were so severe, it was as if the earth was shaking under their feet. And they were, who were these people? They were not, Allah is not talking about anybody. He's talking about the Nabi of the time, the Rasul of the time and the people with him. And they even asked, where is the help of Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah's help is near. So, difficulties to that extent, even when the Rasul is with them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ease, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from difficulties, but and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for courage and steadfastness and istiqamat. That's why Allah said, ihdina siratal mustaqim. Istiqamat ka mangne ko kaha hai. So therefore we ask for that. No complaining, no moaning, groaning, whining. Either if you are going to be in the field, then shut up and work. Otherwise, shut up and sit at home. Khalas. And if you give up and you join the people who are doing evil, then believe me, you are much worse than those people, because at least those people had the honesty to say what it was from day one. Whereas you were pretending and being a hypocrite and pretending to be good, and then you collapse the moment you find some difficulty. We ask Allah to save us from being that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stand up for the truth no matter what. And we ask for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and for protection from our enemies and the enemies of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims wherever they are and to help them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the sha'ar of Islam, the signs of Islam, the buildings and the madaris and the musallas and the masajid. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and to save our iman and our izzah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.